Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Welcome back to the Idle Podcast, which is part of the Organized 365 blog and podcast series. IDLE stands for Identify, Decide, Locate or Let Go, and Evaluate. And this week, this is our fifth week in the IDLE series, we are going to talk about books. Oh my goodness, books. Yes, I'm sure for many of you, either your heart just dropped into your chest, like, do not even tell me I have to get rid of a single book. Or you just thought, books, yeah, okay, we could talk about books. Books give a very emotional reaction. When I go into a home that has a lot of books and I say we're going to organize the books, often it's like saying we're going to take one of your children away if we're going to donate a book. Books are very, very powerful things. So we're going to go through the IDLE process, and really, I want you to think about your thought process as it goes with books. And I'm going to kind of talk to you about the different trends in technology with books so that we can think about, maybe not today, but in the future, how your bookcase needs might change. So we're going to talk about books. And I really find that there are five different categories that books end up in. And remember, when going through this process, you do not have to get rid of a single book. You do not have to go home and even organize the books that you have. The beauty of the IDLE podcast is just by listening to the podcast, you are going to start to change your organizational mindset about these individual items in your home. And books tend to be in every room in our home. We might have a bookcase, but often there are books all over the home, and every family member has their own needs and desires with books. So the first kind of books, or the first thing I think when I think of books, I think back to my childhood, and I remember being a voracious reader, a horrible speller, but I loved to read and I loved information, and I would actually sit down and read the encyclopedias at my house. Like, that's what I did for fun. I know, but that's what I did for fun. And I remember, like, challenging myself, like, if I started now, maybe I could consume all of the information that was in the world at that time, like if I was just really diligent about it. And as I got older, you know, computers were invented and then the internet and all of these things. And I started to realize that, you know, I was never going to be able to consume all of the information, but maybe I could become an expert in a couple of areas. So I had never devoted a single brain cell to learning anything about sports. Like, I was devoting all of those brain cells to learn about organizing and analyzing and medical things. And so I thought, well, maybe if I just devote my time and attention to one special area, I would be able to find out everything there is to know about that one area. And the bottom line is, at the rate that information is coming into our world, there's no way to learn at all. And I remember when I met my son's ADHD doctor, she had read at that time every single study in the United States and really in the world that had been done on ADHD. Like, she was an expert in ADHD. And I remember that was so cool, like, that she had read every single study that had ever been done on ADD at that time. And how neat that was to have that complete knowledge. Like, I'm always looking for complete knowledge. When I was doing homeopathy, I have like 50 books in the basement on homeopathy. A lot of them came straight from India so that I could read from the source. I mean, I'm a crazy woman. So I understand, like, how books can have a pull on us. And I was helping a family organize the other day, and the mother was moving all of the books to another location. And I gently said, are we saving all of the books, or is now the time to purge some of the books because the children are getting older? And I could tell right away that that was a really hard question that I had asked. We had been really good about getting rid of things in a lot of other areas. But as soon as I hit on books, it was like, oh, we're done. Like, we're keeping all of the books. All of the books must be kept. And that's fine. If you're at the stage where you want all of your books to be kept, remember, I just want you to think about the things that I'm saying. And we're going to try to locate those books in fewer rooms and consolidate what we have. So often we will keep books for memories. I know I have some of the books that I read as a child, and my children did read them when they were young, and maybe someday I will read those to my grandchildren. Part of that is, you know, growing up, I didn't have the libraries full of books that my children have now. I literally had like 20 books. So the fact that I have 10 of the 20 books is how many that we saved, because there were only 20 to begin with. My children have hundreds of books, and I was a preschool teacher before I had children. So you can imagine we had thousands of picture books when they were little. And it was hard to give up those picture books. But once I realized we were only going to have two children, saving picture books for 30 years until they got married and had children to read to them someday just didn't seem like it was necessary. So I think I've kept like maybe 10 books to read to my grandchildren. And who knows, I may not even do that, but I have kept those books. My husband has two books from his childhood that his mother gave him, and those are on our son's bookshelf. So those are the books that we have for memories. Now, I notice my children, when they will organize their books, often they will pass them down to a younger cousin that we have, or we will give them away. When they were younger, we could sell them at garage sales, and you can, you know, get 50 cents or a dollar for each book that you sell at a garage sale. So that was pretty good too. And I noticed with both of my children, I make them make decisions about every single book. Like, we pull every single book off the bookshelf and I hold up every single book, and they either have to say keep or give away to every single book. And usually they will give away about 20%, sometimes 50%, and sometimes none at all, because we go through these books twice a year. I'm pretty good about getting my kids to declutter things to keep them having the amount of things in their bedroom that they can maintain and keep organized when they have to organize their rooms. So often my children will give away books, and sometimes I'll find that they'll keep books from their childhood way beyond when that book is an appropriate reading level or they've even read that book again. But for whatever reason, they'll want to keep that book. And then on occasion, they will be very much in a decluttering mode, and they'll get rid of tons of books that I thought that they would have gotten rid of a couple of years prior. And then all of a sudden, these 40 books can go and they have no problem with it. This is how it is for everybody when they're decluttering and organizing. You go through phases of where you want to keep things. You don't really even know why you want to keep them. It's not a logical thing. You're probably not going to read it again. You're just not ready to give it up yet. And so I encourage you not to. Don't give up things before you're ready. Because when you're ready, you'll be ready. And then it'll be a relief to give these things to somebody else who may want them. But if you give up things before you're ready because you think it's what you should do or what you feel I'm saying to do, then you will always resent it, and then you will come to not like organizing. And of course, I would like you to love organizing. So the number one reason people keep books, I think, is because of the memory of the book. The second reason, or why I normally keep books, is because, you know, I'm very analytical. And so they're reference books. Often the books I will keep are about, you know, the gluten-free, casein-free diet, or natural alternatives for treating ADHD, or, you know, these kind of analytical books where I'm hearing how a doctor describes how they came to this treatment option and what the different options that you have for your children are. Or there's one book for one of my kids' diagnosis that there aren't many books written for this diagnosis, and it has like every drug you would ever use in this book. And so I will continually go back and read that book like every 6 months just to get more information, because we're in a new stage of life, and just to see what information that has. So those are reference books, like encyclopedias, dictionaries, things like that. However, with computers, I really don't see anybody using dictionaries or thesauruses anymore. And you might want to think about when the last time you used a dictionary or a thesaurus was. I really think that those can be donated and you don't need those anymore at your home. The third kind of books are the active books, like the books that you're either in process reading, going to read, or have just finished reading. For some people, those are fiction books. For some people, those are biographies, whatever it is, the business books, whatever it is you enjoy reading and do on a regular basis. So those active books, often you'll have the ones that you've just finished, which tend to just be set down as soon as you're done. And then obviously the books that you're reading are close to where you read books, and then the books that you want to read eventually pile up as well. What I find is we tend to keep the books that we've already read because we enjoyed them, just like in the last podcast where I talked about Are Your Magazines Empty Coffee Cups. Just because you enjoyed the contents of the book doesn't mean that you need to still keep the book. So one of the things I love is that my husband likes fiction, and he likes the same fiction that his sister and his father and his mother's sister likes. They all like the same author. So whenever the family gets together, all these books get traded around. Like Greg will take his three or four books and he'll hand them to his sister, who hands her books off to the father. And they rotate through these books so that everybody gets the benefit of reading the books. And then once everybody's read them, they just donate them or give them to somebody outside of the family. And these books never end up on our bookshelf, because these are fiction books that are not going to be referenced or read over and over again. And while they were great books, no one's going to go back and read them a second time. Now, I happen to have a set of these books that I read when I was in college and early married. I think that's when they came out. They were the Left Behind series that was written by Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins, I think it was. And it was a series of books, and I read them as they came out, and each one was a birthday gift because I got it as soon as it came out, or Christmas gift. And I would read the books and I loved them, and they're fiction, but they're based on the Bible. So they kind of make different scriptures come to life for me. And they're written by pastors, so at least there's that influence. And it's not the Bible, but it is not just pure fiction. And someday I would like to sit down and read that whole series from start to finish again, and possibly have my children read that series from start to finish again, if they so choose. So I do have that whole series on my bookshelf for that reason. But there aren't any other series that I've kept. Like over the years, I had kept the books like The Pelican Brief and The Firm, whoever that author is. I loved that author and I used to have those. But eventually I realized I wasn't going to read the same books again. And so I went ahead and donated them. So that is pile number four, the books that you are done with. Now, the last category of books that I want to talk to you about is the new way of reading books, which are paper ebooks or electronic ebooks and electronic books from Kindle or podcasts or audiobooks. All of these other ways of getting knowledge out of books, but not in a written, concrete, black and white, hold in your hand book form. And recently, about 2 years ago, was when I started going to ebooks versus real traditional books. And partly it was because some of the books were only offered in ebooks, and partly I ordered regular books because those books weren't offered in ebooks. But more and more books are being available in both ebook and book form. And I'm now opting more and more for the ebook form. And the first reason is it's a little bit less expensive than the paper book. But the second reason, which is more important for me, is I can get the book instantly. Like, I could start reading it minutes after I click buy with your one click. And then I'm immediately starting to read the books. Now, I will read books much faster electronically, and I do read books from my phone when I'm waiting for carpool and things like that. But I also find that I don't necessarily finish ebooks as much as I will finish a paper book. I will traditionally finish a paper book, but ebooks, sometimes I only get halfway through, or often they are factual and I just get what I need out of them and then I go. So that is something to consider, and how you organize those books. I don't really organize mine. Mine are all in my Kindle store, and you can even add PDFs that you buy. Like if you buy my book on my website, you can add that to your Kindle, and I'll have a link to that in the notes on the blog. So it's organize365.com/IDLE5. And you'll be able to get to that link to see how you could take any PDF that you have on your computer and you could drag it in your Kindle so that you could see that on your phone, or you could see that anywhere that you have your Kindle app. But most often how I'm consuming content now is in podcasts and in audio CDs. So I'm going to the library, and right now I'm listening to Warren Buffett's biography, which is 37 hours long, but is so interesting, on CDs in the car, because I'm in the car all of the time. And it's a way to use that 20 hours a week that I spend in the car to further my desire to have this knowledge base in my head. So hopefully this has given you good ideas of like how you're actually using books and how you think about books in your house. So those are the different kinds of books. And we've kind of talked through how you would decide if you were going to keep or not keep those kinds of books. So the next step in the idle process is to locate. Let's say you've decided you're going to keep all of your reference books, but you agree the books that you've already read and family members have already read, you can either pass off to other family members or you can donate. So those you are going to let go. And going forward, as much as possible, you're going to buy electronic books for the things that you want to reference. So you're going to locate those on your Kindle app. And then step four is to evaluate. So in the future, you're going to need to reevaluate this. And as our society changes and more things go electronic and to podcasting and to ebooks, you're going to have less and less paper books. I think we've seen this already in the newspaper industry, where the newspaper has become smaller and smaller and is delivered on fewer days. So this is an area that you're going to reevaluate and just keep going with what works with you and your books. You could keep as many as you want, but maybe you can get a bunch ready to donate to other people so that they can enjoy your favorites that you've already enjoyed. Have a great week. I hope you got some good nuggets of information on how to get organized in today's podcast. Come on over to organize365.com to check out all the resources and links in today's show.